All right, good morning to you. Merry Christmas. It's hard to imagine that it's officially Christmas Sunday, right? Christmas is exactly 1 week from this morning. And of course, we'll be here together with you next week as well. One service only, 10:30 a.m., child care downstairs for the little ones, but no Sunday school, no middle hour or anything. We're just going to have one fantastic worship service up here together with families, and we hope that you'll be here with us on Christmas Sunday, next Sunday. My grandson asked me yesterday. I was telling him about this time frame, and he's like, "Pappy, are we going to open gifts before we go to church?" Okay, and I wanted to torture him a little bit and say, "No, it'll be after church, after lunch, and all this." But I'm sure that we'll get all that done before we come at 10:30. I'm officially in the Christmas spirit. Are you? You know, this morning I got dressed, and Arlene was actually still kind of sleeping, and she looked up at me and she was like, "You look like a giant Christmas ornament." I said, "Thank you very much. That's exactly the look that I was going for. And I know you'd need a big tree to hang me on, though, right? But that's all right. I hope, and I want to ask you this question as we start. Are you in the Christmas spirit? Are you in the Christmas spirit? Yes. When did it happen? What? Last Friday, okay? Black Friday, all right, yep. Some people say, my daughter, she usually puts her Christmas tree up the day after Halloween, you know, because that's Christmas season to her. You know, it's amazing, and I did notice this on social media this year, like every year, but it's like, you know, somebody says something, "Oh, I heard the first Christmas carol today." And they're like, somebody comments, "You make me sick. It's not time yet." Right? It's like, okay, that person is officially not in the Christmas spirit. I'm not sure if they ever will be in the Christmas spirit, you know, if you have that kind of reaction. You know, or people, all of a sudden, you know, the Christmas decorations are up, or they're selling Christmas trees in the store, and people are either like, "Oh, that's awesome," or, you know, "That's terrible, it's not time." And I don't know when it actually becomes officially the Christmas season for you, but I'll tell you when it really, really hit me. One Christmas season, it was pretty early. I don't remember exactly when it was during the Christmas holiday season, but it was actually at Walmart is where it was, and I was just walking through the store, and this lady who I did not know stopped me, and she had a sweater, and she said, "Excuse me, could you stand still for a minute?" And she put one part of the shoulder of the sweater up to my shoulder on my back, and the other one up to the other side, and she said, "Oh, I think that'll fit him nicely." Now, she's talking about her husband, and she said, "You're just about the same size as my husband, and I wanted to see if this sweater would fit." I almost thought she was going to ask me to take a pile of clothes into the changing room and put them on and come out and show her what they were. It was like, okay, if you can do that with a total stranger, then you are definitely in the Christmas spirit. You know, when we start lighting the candle, and Robin, thank you so much for doing that this morning. There they are. I was looking for you. You know, when we start lighting these candles during the Christmas holiday season, that's usually when things really, you know, when we start talking about, you know, joy and peace and hope and love, you know, it really comes home to me. One of the things that I find real challenging, and this year more than any other, because I don't know about you, but I purchased more things online this year than I ever have before. And for some reason, it's a little more difficult to feel that spirit of giving when you're ordering something off of, you know, some website or Amazon or something. We had our grandkids yesterday, and a package came that was actually for one of them. And they brought the package in off the porch, and said, Pappy, here this came. I said, what is it? I wanted to say, it's for you, right? But I didn't do that because it would have really caused a problem. See, here's the thing. The spirit of Christmas, whether you're in it or whether you're not, either gives you an avenue for real joy or an avenue for real frustration or real difficulties during this time of year. You know, over the last few weeks, we've been looking at the message of Christmas from the prophets, and then looking at the fulfillment of that in the life of Jesus. And today, I want to go to a section of Scripture in Hosea chapter 1. The minor prophet Hosea and what he had to say, and it's really the most difficult prophecy I think to really grasp and to understand and to realize why it's even spoken, why this was a prophetic word, and what it means for not only for us but for Christ. When he was born. And it comes from Hosea chapter 1. It's a very simple verse, very short verse. It says this. It says, when Israel was a child, I loved him. And out of Egypt, I called my son. Now, just think about that prophetic word for just a moment. When he says, for out of Egypt, I called my son. The fulfillment of this prophecy goes over to Matthew in chapter 2 in these verses here, verses 13 through 15. And if you see at the end of this passage in verse 15, he quotes the prophet when he says, out of Egypt I called my son. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So he got up, he took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. I think that this is one of the most amazing words from all the prophets, and certainly in the fulfillment of Jesus. When the prophet actually prophesied that Jesus would in some way come out of Egypt. Now, why is that important? It's important here because the prophet is prophesying the protection of the life of Jesus when he was born. And when you see this fulfillment in the New Testament, that when Herod was so worried about his authority, was so worried about his kingdom, thought that Jesus was going to usurp his authority, was going to command more influence than he had, that all of a sudden that he was going to seek this one out that was born, that the wise men came to worship and to praise, and that he would take this child's life so that his kingdom, his throne, would not be threatened. To think that God thought of that way back during the times of the prophet. And he prophesied that out of Egypt he would call his son. Let me tell you something, folks. I think that this prophecy and our understanding of it is all about the intense love of God. You know, folks, really the whole story of Jesus is about the intense love of God. It's why he came. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. And if we believe in him, we will have eternal life in him and through him. It was because of his love. You know, folks, when you try to understand the love of God, it is answered emphatically at Christmas. Not so much by any gift, but by the motivation of that gift. Have you ever gotten a gift that the motivation of the gift meant more than the gift itself? Think about that. I remember when I was a kid, I got a 10-speed bicycle from my mother. And I remember the Christmas that I opened it up, and it was just incredible to me. Believe it or not, it was orange. I didn't have anything to do with that way back then, but I think even that was a prophecy. But anyway, it wasn't until a long time later that I understood how much more the motivation of that gift meant than the gift itself. Because it was after I became an adult when I understood, you know, the things about money and bills and your ability to do things or buy things and have things, that I looked back on that particular gift and I was absolutely amazed, not so much about the gift, but that my mother pulled it off. And that she wanted to pull it off. And that she wanted me to have it. And the motivation of her love for me meant so much more than the gift itself. Listen, folks, that's everything about Christmas. It's all about the intense love of God. Think about the story of the prophet Hosea. If you read the entire book of Hosea, it's all about the love for a husband and for his wandering and sinful wife. And how God encouraged Hosea to take his wife back and to love her and to sacrifice for her and to care for her, even though she was not faithful. Even though she went out on his love, even though she trampled his love under her feet of disobedience and sin, God said, it's still good for you to love her. How much of that story is our story with God? That while we were still sinners, while we were so disobedient, while we trampled his love and devotion under our feet of sinfulness and disobedience, through his son Jesus Christ, he still tells us that he loves us. Hosea, his message is all about love. And God, and God's message of Christmas is all about his love for us. That he loves us even though we are sinful, even though we are disobedient. For God so loved the world that he sent his son. You see, I think that this prophecy that I will call my son up out of Egypt, I think even that itself is an example of God's love. So let me draw some big truths out of this story. Because even though you see this in Hosea, you see it fulfilled in the life of Jesus in Matthew chapter 1, that after Herod died, an angel appeared to Joseph in a dream, just as he had done before, and tells him to go back home, that Herod is now dead. It's all about the intense and the big love of God. So let's learn some big truths from this. Here, let me give you this first one. Herod wanted the child dead, but the Christ willingly died for us. Isn't that amazing? I mean, think about it. He went to Egypt to save the child's life so that he could come back from Egypt and die for us. Isn't that a paradox? Isn't that an oxymoron? Isn't that an unusual thing to think about? I mean, on the one hand, he didn't want him to die. And on the other hand, he knew that he was going to die. On the one hand, he didn't want his life to be taken. so that he can, on the other hand, give his life willingly. He, on the one hand, escaped so that the child could be protected, just so that, on the other hand, he could come and he could die at the hands of the Roman soldiers. Man, that's a big thing. You know, and I think about what Joseph and Mary and Jesus had to think about in Egypt. You know, think about that. Mary and Joseph had to wonder, is this what God meant? I mean, Mary had to wonder, wait, God said that this was going to be a child, this is going to be Emmanuel inside of me. Why are we running away? Why are we in Egypt? Why are we so far away from where we know that God wants us to be? You know, why did God send us from Nazareth down into Bethlehem and give birth to a son, only then to send us into Egypt? And just think about what the lingering effect of the Egyptian slavery had to be in the minds and the hearts of God's people, of the Hebrew people, of which Mary and Joseph were a part. That for hundreds of years they had been slaved, enslaved, hard labor, only to cry out to God and to hear God's voice and to feel His strong hand bring them up out of Egypt into the promised land. And now they're back in Egypt. Wow. It's amazing how God works. Because just as the Hebrew people heard from God when they cried out to Him when they were enslaved in Egypt, Joseph heard from God. And the message was, and this is the second big truth, was that Herod is now dead. Come home. Herod is now dead. The one that was seeking you is now dead. Come home. And the big truth of that is that this message is the message of Christmas for us today, is that Jesus is alive. Come home. You see, a lot of us, I think, today are in kind of a symbolic Egypt, away from God. We either feel like that we are enslaved to the world. We feel like that we are in exile because of our own life or because of some particular situation in life. And I think the very message of Christmas is the same message for us today as it was for Mary and Joseph way back then. Hey, your adversary is dead, is no longer powerful. Do you remember the first week of this message when we talked from Genesis chapter 3 when he said, I'm going to put enmity between your seed, talking to the serpent, I'm going to put enmity between your seed and the woman, and she'll give birth, and he'll crush your head. You see, that was the message then, and the message is still for us today, is that God has done that work, and that Jesus is now alive, so come home. Or how about this big truth? God's people were slaves in Egypt. And now the Christmas message for us is that our exodus is here. That we can come out of this and we can come before God. But all it takes is an understanding of where we are. Maybe in exile in Egypt. Maybe we're hiding in Egypt. But the power of the presence of God tells us of His intense love and of His desire to bring us home. You know, a good friend of mine, Jerry, told me a story here recently about a man that wandered into a men's Bible study thinking that he was going to a AA meeting, but in reality what he wandered into was a group of men that were praying together about God's direction and about God's love. Jerry, my friend, said that entire meeting became a time when they were just trying to help and encourage and pray for this young man. He was homeless. He was an alcoholic. And what he needed more than anything else in life was hope. He said they talked to him about the Lord, and he said at the end of that time together, this young man gave his heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jerry said the next day, he said he and some of the other guys were trying to find some suitable housing for this young man. And the young man had told him that a friend of his had offered him a place to stay, but he hadn't taken him up on that. But Jerry said that next day, he said another guy in the church that he attended called, and he said, "Hey, I finally got my truck fixed. I'm going to be back in service this week. I'm looking forward to seeing all you guys. And by the way, I'm going to bring a friend." Lo and behold, that friend was this same young man. The same young man that had wandered in, did not know where he was going. But ended up in a place that people told him about the intense love of God. And then upon calling that other friend back and saying, "Hey, by the way, I was encouraged to take you up on your offer of a place to stay." And the other young man saying, "Oh, that'd be fine, that's great." And then inviting him to come to church with him. And then taking him to church and having him experience all those men that he had wandered upon some nights before. I mean, could that ever be known as a coincidence? Of course not. Of course not. God works in those ways all the time. And I think about the countless people down through the ages who read scriptures like this, that out of Egypt I will call my son. Wow, that's a coincidence. Jesus ended up in Egypt. Wow, what a coincidence. You see, folks, Christmas is not about coincidence. It's about the intense love of God. The love like Hosea had for his wife. Even though his wife was disobedient, was sinful, and trampled his love under her feet of sin. God told Hosea, "You still love her." And when you think about Jesus going to Egypt, then coming back to Egypt after Herod had died, it tells us about the intense love of God. Herod wanted to kill the child, but Jesus was saved so he could willingly give up his life. Herod is now dead, come home, and Jesus is alive, and we can come home. And even though God's people were slaves in Egypt, God brought about an exodus. And God wants to bring about an exodus for us. For us to come out of our Egypt, whatever that might look like, into the promised land of His great love. You know what, folks? If you look at this passage in Matthew again, it's so interesting when you read there that it's in verse 21 that he says, "So he got up, he took the child and his mother, and he went to the land of Israel. When he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea, in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. And he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, that he would be called a Nazarene. Folks, there are no coincidences in the Christmas story. In Jesus' Christmas story, or in our Christmas story today. And the point is that we got to get in the spirit of Christmas. And here's the thing, folks. We need to get in the spirit of Christmas. But think about it for a moment. Are you weary? That's the Christmas spirit. Jesus said, all who are weary, come to me. Are you in the Christmas spirit? Maybe you don't feel joy or excitement. Maybe you feel desperate. That was the Christmas spirit. Mary and Joseph were desperate as they fled into Egypt to save their son. So if you're desperate today, that's the Christmas spirit. Bring it unto Jesus. I mean, are you in the Christmas spirit? Maybe you're unsure if God will ever really show up. That's the Christmas spirit. Because God has always come through. Even as Mary and Joseph were in Egypt wondering, what in the world is God doing? God was showing up in a mighty way. Let's get in the Christmas spirit. Maybe you're afraid of the way the powerful might act. Mary and Joseph were afraid of Herod, of how the powerful might act, so they fled. God said, come home, the king is dead. And it says that they were still afraid because his son, Archelaus, that he may very well be in the same vein as his father. God said, I've got this. And he took them into Nazareth. Why? So that prophecy would be fulfilled in the person of Jesus. So let's get in the Christmas spirit. Are you longing? Longing to have something more? Folks, that is the Christmas spirit and the longing heart of the prophets. The longing heart of all those in the original Christmas story were met in the person of Jesus. So you know what struck me this week? That whether you say, yes, I'm in the Christmas spirit because I have joy, I have peace, I have hope, I have love, that's the Christmas spirit. But the Christmas spirit is also weariness and desperate. And an unsure if God is really going to show up, or being afraid that the powerful might act or react in a way that impacts you negatively, that you just have a longing to have God come and dwell in your heart. Guess what? That's the Christmas spirit as well. So wherever you find yourself today, whether excited and ready or desperate and weary, know that God can speak to that spirit in you right now. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I thank you for this wonderful time of year. God, it's wonderful because you give us love and joy and peace and hope in abundance. But that, Lord, you also speak to our weariness, our desperate nature. That, God, you speak to our fear. You speak, Lord, to our longing. But God, may we know that your prophecies and Jesus' fulfillment answers all of that, even to the point of finding ourselves in Egypt and finding ourselves with an invitation from you to come out of that Egypt and to trust in you. May it be so, Lord, for all of us. In Jesus' name, amen.